Tonight on the World View Report, the United Nations meets in New York. The plot, the acceleration toward global government. We'll bring you an update. Another American journalist gets convicted of a journalist. One of America's biggest banks announces it's ready to go all in with a new central bank digital currency. Mike Pence outs himself as a servant of the global deep state, worshiper of the God of War. All these stories and more get the World Report again right now.
This is World View Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. Leading us off tonight, the United Nations held its annual Sustainable Development Goals Summit at its headquarters in New York City on September 18th and 19th, and they renewed their vows to make sure nations, multilateral organizations, and investors stay the course and even accelerate the achievement of the UN's 17 goals for global transformation by the year 2030. Think of this as Barack Obama's fundamental transformation, only on a global scale. Here is UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, a known socialist, speaking to the world about the purpose of the UN summit.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend is all about action towards the Sustainable Development Goals. You are all part of a great global effort to rescue the SDGs and deliver the action that our planet and people around the world are counting on. But right now, we are losing the fight. That is why acceleration is the overarching theme of today's sessions. The high-impact initiatives being discussed are built around targeted areas where we can accelerate progress across the SDGs now. Areas where we can support those countries that are committed to delivering progress for their people despite global headwinds. From strengthening energy, food, and education systems, to providing social protection and jobs and redesigning food systems, to safeguarding biodiversity and ending the scourge of violence against women, to boosting data and digital transformation to support development, to trade, localization, and strengthening public services, to the fuel for progress across all the SDGs, finance, including supporting an SDG stimulus of at least $500 billion a year. Dear friends, these initiatives belong to you, as governments, as businesses, as members of civil society, as young people, as activists. As you begin your deliberations today, I urge you to think big and be ambitious. This is not the time for incrementalism. This is the time for transformation with all hands on deck. Let's get the SDGs back on track.
In May, the World Economic Forum and the UN jointly announced that this year's summit would be extra important, as the globalist groups earnestly warned that the world is behind on accomplishing their goals by 2030, and that the summit would greatly focus on getting back on track and even making up for lost time. Last week, the World Health Organization also weighed in advance, stating that this year's Sustainable Development Goals Conference would also place key emphasis on pandemic preparedness and prevention. King Charles, well, he's also written an article, and it was posted to the World Economic Forum website, and he offered his 10 radical ideas on how to accelerate the realization of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, which involves curtailing freedom of movement, taxing everything that emits carbon, changing human diets, and the list, well, it goes on and on. Charles, he previously called for a $1 trillion marshaling of global resources to throw at the problem of, quote, climate change, end quote. The UN, well, they wrote an overview They wrote an overview about the summit. Quote, the agenda is a promise, not a guarantee. At the halftime mark, the promise is in deep peril. For the first time in decades, development progress is reversing under the combined impacts of climate disasters, conflict, economic downturn, and lingering COVID-19 effects. The Sustainable Development Goals Summit serves as a rallying cry to recharge momentum for world leaders to come together to reflect on where we stand and resolve to do more. It is a moment to recommit to a vision of the future that ensures no one is left behind. Fundamental shifts in commitment, solidarity, financing, and action must put us back on track to end poverty, realize just societies, and reset a balanced relationship with the natural world, end quote. Those of you familiar with the language on the Georgia Guidestones, well, you'll pick up on the similar language used by the United Nations in that very statement. The call for a one-world government to deal with problems that are of their own making, a return to the so-called balance with nature, which is their way of calling for the worship of nature. Romans chapter 1 speaks to this. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Another major tenet of the UN agenda is depopulation. And one country that is leading the way on this front is the Trudeau regime in our neighbor to the north, Canada. Now that healthcare professionals have been, well, numbed to the initial horror of actively killing their own patients, we've moved on to the next step. Formalizing and standardizing the murder of patients as an official medical practice. Active euthanasia. Much the same way we once did with, well, abortion a few years ago and a few generations ago, we now have the acceleration of active euthanasia. Wes Walker, in an article at Clash Daily, writes, quote, now the Canadian doctors and nurses have performed enough cases of, quote, medically assisted dying, end quote. They have been able to establish some best practices for efficiencies in the assembly line killing of human beings, end quote. Canada, well, they have recently released their first nationally accredited training program in medical assistance in dying, or MAID. And it's aimed at licensed physicians and nurse practitioners. This follows great concern about the rising prevalence of this program called MAID. Again, MAID stands for a medical assistance in dying. And it's quite shocking, their recommendation. Their recommendation for, quote, mature minors, end quote. Walker reports that curriculum, it was developed by the Canadian Association of MAID Assessors and Providers, and that Health Canada, well, they came out with a statement September 13th. It was in a press release that this group, which is a British Columbia-based non-government organization that was established, by the way, in 2016, well, the organization said on its very own website, it was created to address the needs to, quote, establish training resources to create medical standards and to encourage the standardization of care across the country, end quote. Well, according to the Epoch Times, the curriculum is accredited by the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada and the College of Family Physicians of Canada. And it consists of 8 topics, including the procedures for conducting a MAID assessment and dealing with MAID for individuals with mental disorders. The program is designed to address some of the, quote, complicated issues, end quote, that come along with Trudeau's government expanding the scope of the problem to include people who want to die for reasons that go beyond final illness considerations. As it stands, there have been documented cases of Canadians pulling the trigger because they were unable to pay their bills. And there are other instances where people who had no interest in suicide were offered the option of ending it all, including military veterans with disability. What may shock people is this is exactly how it started in Nazi Germany. Before Nazi Germany, private killing centers, private death centers, active euthanasia, the killing of disabled children and adults, and then of disabled soldiers. This is what led to the creation of the Holocaust and the Final Solution, the very practices that were in the private death centers of Germany. Is history repeating itself? In an assault on the First Amendment and an assault on the free press, a Washington, D.C. jury has convicted journalist Stephen Horn of four misdemeanor charges stemming from his reporting on the January 6, 2021 Capitol Hill protest. According to journalist Steve Baker, the jury deliberated for about an hour on Monday of this week before they found Horn guilty of entering and remaining in a restricted building. He was also convicted of disorderly and disruptive conduct, violent entry, and parading, demonstrating, or picketing in the Capitol. As Headline USA has reported, Horn, by all accounts, was engaging in purely journalistic activities on January 6th. The FBI received a tip from someone that identified Horn as a journalist, and charging documents describe him as acting entirely peacefully. Headline USA, well, they understand there are more than 20 other reporters who, like Horn, entered the Capitol on January 6th, but are not facing charges. Headline USA reviewed some of their names, but it's withholding them so they won't also be targeted. In an interview with Headline USA in June, Horn recounted the event leading up to and following the infamous protest in Washington, D.C., which was the first Trump rally that this 24-year-old ever attended. He also provided examples of his earlier work, as well as reference letters, emails, and other records supporting his claim to being a legitimate journalist and not the pro-Trump activist that the government has portrayed him to be. To the contrary, he describes himself as a conservative, but at no point a Trump supporter. Horn used the footage that he obtained on January 6th to produce a documentary. In fact, he had refused a deal offered by the U.S. government to receive probation in exchange for his guilty plea. Horn told Headline USA in June, quote, they wanted me to admit I was there protesting, picketing, or demonstrating. I was like, well, I can't really do that because I wasn't protesting, I wasn't picketing, and I wasn't parading. Obviously, I can't sign a document saying I did these things when I didn't, end quote. Horn, well, he awaits sentencing. He will likely join InfoWars journalist Owen Schroyer, who was convicted on similar charges last week in the D.C. gulag. We'll be right back after this break.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35 or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Before we continue, let me remind you, if you appreciate this broadcast, We're brought to you by you. So thank you to all of you that make a contribution to help keep this program going. There are a few ways you can support us, but one of the easiest ways is just simply to make a contribution at WVWFoundation.com. There at WVW Foundation, you can give various ways, but you'll also find our mailing address if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone. Again, as I always say, think of us as your conservative Christian worldview alternative to NPR, National Public Radio, National Public Television. They bring in a lot of money, hundreds of millions from what I see online, and they get government money. We don't get government money. We're supported by you, small contributions. We seek to bring you the news through the lens of a Christian worldview so you can understand the times and know how God would have you to respond. And if you appreciate that, we appreciate your support. WVWFoundation.com. We are looking for more regular monthly contributors so we know we have our budgets met for each month. So if you'd like to set up an automatic monthly contribution, please consider doing so right now at WVWFoundation.com. The U.S. Marine Corps somehow managed to lose an advanced F-35B Lightning stealth jet, which, as most of you know by now, went missing after its pilot locked it on autopilot mode and made an emergency ejection while flying over South Carolina. This happened on the afternoon of Sunday, September 17th. Fortunately, the pilot survived and has been hospitalized, sadly, though, but he is in stable condition. But the status and location of his F-35, well, it remained a mystery, such a mystery that the Pentagon on Monday was soliciting tips from civilians to locate their missing plane. But finally, late in the day on Monday, the wreckage of the jet was found. And thankfully, it had not crashed into a populated area. Some members of Congress, well, they were bewildered by the disappearance. Representative Nancy Mace, a Republican of South Carolina, asked in a post to X, "How was it possible to lose an F-35, stating, quote, "How is there not a tracking device? And we're asking the public to what? Find a jet and turn it in?" End quote. The F-35 in question was based at Marine Corps Air Station Beaufort, which is home to Marine Fighter Attack Training Squadron 501, and was flying alongside another F-35, which returned safely to the base. The jet flew hundreds of miles before striking the ground. Well, there has been some public outrage on the fact that the Pentagon was unable to maintain and track the pilotless F-35. The jet's transponder, which could have been used to geolocate the aircraft, was reportedly not functioning for, quote, "some reason that we haven't yet determined," end quote. That's according to a base spokesman. One F-35, you know how much that cost? $80 million just to build it. And folks, it's almost unbelievable that our military is able to lose track of one of these, right? Right here on our own soil. There certainly has to be more to this story. And last night, Colonel John Mills joined me, and he says he would not be shocked if one of our enemies actually cyber hacked the jet and took over it. That's behind this story. We'll try to keep you posted. The Drive War Zone reports that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un visited a factory in the Russian Far East on Monday, September 18th. It's a facility that builds advanced fighters. And this, of course, was part of his tour of Russia. Kim inspected Russian manufacturing facilities, which, of course, has led to no shortage of speculation that North Korea might be preparing to trade artillery shells and other war material for some of Russia's more modern fighter jets. This would potentially overhaul Kim's badly aging Air Force. Official photos that were released of Kim's visit showed the North Korean leader accompanied by Russia's deputy prime minister and minister of industry and trade. Kim was seen looking into the cockpit of a Su-57 Felon, which is a next generation fighter, as well as in the final assembly of the Su-35 Flanker, which is a multi-role fighter. He was also seen watching a demonstration flight over the factory airfield by a pre-delivery Su-35. Watch this. Kim's visit came on the third day of his trip, which marks a very rare visit to a foreign country by the North Korean leader. Well, Kim arrived at the manufacturing plant in his, well, specially designed, specially equipped armored train. Kim's trip also included meeting Russian President Vladimir Putin at a space facility in the far eastern Amur region. Discussions reportedly included satellite technology, which, by the way, North Korea is keen to obtain, as well as a potential deal to provide North Korean arms to Russia. As we predicted earlier this week, President Trump is facing major blowback for stating in an interview with NBC Meet the Press on Sunday that he wanted to broker a deal between pro-lifers and pro-abortionists. He called the six-week heartbeat bill that several red states have enacted a, quote, terrible idea, end quote. And he seemed indifferent as to whether the issue is resolved at the state or federal level. Well, LifeSite News reports that Trump, quote, stunned pro-life former supporters, end quote, with his statements in the interview. Take a look.
Mr. President, I want to give voters who are going to be weighing in on this election a very clear sense of where you stand.
I think they're all going to like me. I think both sides are going to like me.
What's going to happen is you're going to have to, Kristen, please.
You're asking me a question. What's going to happen is you're going to come up with a number of weeks or months. You're going to come up with a number that's going to make people happy, because 92% of the Democrats don't want to see abortion after a certain period of time.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15?
Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a five-week and six-week ban.
Would you support that? I think what he did is
a terrible thing and a terrible mistake.
During the interview, host Kristen Welker asked Trump, quote, how is it acceptable in America that women's lives are at risk? Doctors are being forced to turn away patients in need or risk breaking the law, end quote. Without disputing that reporter's false claim that denying abortion risks women's lives, President Trump claimed credit for overturning Roe v. Wade, which he said gave pro-lifers, quote, the right to negotiate for the first time, end quote. He added, quote, we're going to have people come together on this issue. They're going to determine the time, because nobody wants to see 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months. Nobody wants to see abortions when you have a baby in the womb, end quote. And to some, Trump seemed to imply by that very statement that a woman who is less than 5 months pregnant does not yet have a baby in the womb, but people are debating that. LifeSite reported that Welker repeatedly claimed that abortion up to and past 9 months, quote, is not part of anyone's platform, end quote. Trump did not correct Welker's denial beyond a passing reference to New York's so-called Reproductive Health Act of 2019. Instead, Trump focused on his vision as, quote, almost like a mediator in this case, end quote. After which, quote, we'll be able to go on to other things like the economy, our military. I think they're all going to like me. I think both sides are gonna like me. What's going to have to happen, listen, what's going to happen is you're going to come up with a number of weeks or months. You're going to come up with a number that's going to make people happy. Because 92% of the Democrats don't want to see abortion after a certain period of time, end quote. Well, that comment by President Trump set off a firestorm among the pro-life community. Live Action founder Lila Rose called them, quote, pathetic and unacceptable, end quote, declaring he, quote, should not be the GOP nominee, end quote. She said, heartbeat laws have saved thousands of babies' lives, and, quote, there is zero point to overruling Roe v. Wade if you don't enact pro-life laws, end quote. Now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. Mike Pence, speaking at a town hall on September 13th, said that if Ukraine can't beat Russia, the U.S. will need to send in troops to join the fight and ensure Russia's defeat. This sounds like a recipe, folks, for nuclear war, which Pence did not address, nor was he asked to address it at all in this totally staged event. Watch this.
What would you do to end the war in Ukraine?
Well, the only way you can end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours is by letting Putin have everything he wants. Look, I've met Vladimir Putin. For the last 20 years, he's been very clear that his ambition is to reclaim the old Soviet sphere of influence in Eastern Europe. Now, let me be clear. I think, Kevin, Joe Biden has done a terrible job explaining what our national interest is in providing military support to the Ukrainian military. It gives these gauzy speeches about democracy that, for all the world, sound like campaign speeches. I believe our national interest there is that I am convinced that if the Ukrainian military doesn't stop and repel that Russian invasion, it's not going to be too long before that Russian army crosses a border that our men and women in uniform are going to have to go and fight under our NATO treaty. I truly believe it, whether that's Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, whether it's Baltic or Poland, I don't know. But we had this idea called the Reagan Doctrine, which was, back in the day, we said, if you're willing to fight the communists in your country, we'll give you the means to fight them there so we don't have to fight them. That's our national interest there. Look, it's a human.
Let me tell you, folks. The Uniparty, the Deep State, the Pentagon, whoever it is, they're doing apparently whatever they can to make sure we go to World War III. If we continue to arm Ukraine with, well, ever bigger and more sophisticated weapons that they will use to strike deep inside Russia, like long-range missiles, well, that's going to provoke Russia to strike back at some point. And Pence seems to forget that Russia is the world's most heavily armed nuclear power, with more than twice the arsenal of the U.S. Look, I'm not an apologist for Putin. I think he's an evil guy. And I feel sorry for the Russian people. But Putin has made it clear. He's made it clear for years that what he could never accept was more eastward expansion of NATO and the stacking of NATO weapons on his border right there in Ukraine. And, well, before this even really got underway, many people were saying that NATO, America, we should lead the way in telling him we're not going to add Ukraine to NATO. We will not put weapons in Ukraine on your border. But we didn't do that. Shame on Mike Pence, and shame on all of the American neocon warmongers who speak of democracy and other made-up platitudes in order to justify their doctrine of perpetual foreign wars, as I said, to make more profits for their donors in the military-industrial complex. And what's so ironic about all this, and sad and dangerous, is our borders are wide open. The U.S. borders with Mexico and Canada are wide open, and military-age males are flooding over every day. And yet, we've sent tons of weaponry to Ukraine, brought down our own stockpile. We're doing nothing about our open border or the invasion by foreign troops positioning and planning on the battlefield right here in the United States of America. Where's Pence on that? Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. As always, thank you for tuning in and for supporting this broadcast. Remember, you can support us a few ways. One is by going to WVWTVstore.com. WVWTVstore.com. Emergency freeze-dried food of all kinds and emergency supplies. We have so much there, we don't even have time to talk about all that's there. Huge inventory. I hope you have your preparedness plan in place, but if you don't, you can get one put together pretty quick with all the resources we have available at WVWTVstore.com. WVWTVstore.com. Also, MyPillow.com, promo code B66, sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. You get savings, we get credit. And then, of course, don't forget about the Wellness Center. If we have a catastrophe in America, if anything gets shut down for a period of time, it would be horrible if you had a lack of access to vital medications. And that's why we're pleased to work with our friends at the Wellness Center, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, the Wellness Center. I got the medical emergency kit. I got four of them for my family. It comes with ivermectin, amoxicillin, you know, the different antibiotics that are so important to have on hand. Like I said, I got four of these for my family. You can order one for your family or friends at twc.health/Brannon. TWC stands for the Wellness Center. twc.health/Brannon. Thanks so much for watching. Till next time, I'm Brannon House. May God save America. Take care.